Are you sure it's Fred Fielding, without a doubt?
No doubt. Absolutely sure. No percentages, no nothing, just sure as sure.
How did you come to be so certain that it's not just likely that Fred Fielding was the man named as Deep Throat, but that it could not be anyone else?
We've surveyed the field. We narrowed it down to somebody in the White House. We took the names of all the top officials in the White House in 1972, and we examined each one of them, and we rated them against the qualifications of being Deep Throat, being in the White House continuously from May of 72 until November of 73, always being available for meetings in the parking garage, not being out of town or something like that. The different qualifications that it took, and we'd go down a checklist, and we eliminated everybody but seven persons. Then at that point, we started a more intensive investigation with every document we could get on these individuals, you know, based on testimony that was given. We had 16,000 FBI reports that the students examined. And we came to the conclusion, not a sudden conclusion, but a meticulous conclusion that Fred Fielding was the only person who had some of the information, and that he also had access to almost all of the information.
Other people had guessed that Fred Fielding was Deep Throat. Were they people who were in positions to know, or were they just guessing?
Well, I guess you might say they were guessing, but they did feel that was the situation. I mean, Bob Haldeman wrote a book, and he said that Fred Fielding was Deep Throat. He felt that because he said that Fielding knew enough, but he didn't know it all. And Deep Throat made a lot of mistakes. Haldeman did not do a thorough investigation. He wrote a couple of paragraphs in his book about that. And then I guess Fielding denied it, and the world went on, you know, and other people were named, and the first person to be named was forgotten until we went back and did this examination. Of course, we had no idea who we would come up with when we started out, and we hadn't really thought that it might be Fielding because Haldeman had named him or any other reason for that.
Why do you think Fred Fielding would provide this information at the time?
Well, you can see from all the president's men that he was a rather reluctant source at the beginning. Several times he would tell Woodward, "Don't call me again," you know, that type of thing. And then he quietly met with him in the garage. And as time went by, he got looser and looser with the type of information that he provided. And I think that he was frustrated with Nixon's aides. I don't think he had any direct information that was harmful to Nixon at the time, but he felt that Nixon's aides were incompetent and they were destroying the presidency. So he can't go to Nixon and tell him that, you know, as a deputy to the chief counsel. So he instead takes his case to the reporters secretly.
How much media attention has come around the announcement that you made? And I guess I'm thinking back to a year ago on the 30th anniversary of the break-in and the attention that was paid to your investigation then, the statements which I guess were made by some of your students that they believed that Patrick Buchanan might have been Deep Throat. I remember that getting a lot of attention. But I don't seem to see as much media attention now about what you believe is your definitive announcement of who Deep Throat is.
Well, I think everybody wants it to be somebody who they've heard of, you know, like Bob Dole, or it'd be nice now, I suppose, if Rumsfeld were Deep Throat, you know, because he was in the Nixon administration, or Al Haig or Kissinger or somebody like that. But Fred Fielding is a very important statesman. He's a very good lawyer. He was for 5 years the chief counsel to President Reagan. He was on the Bush-Cheney transition team. And today he's on the 9/11 commission. That's a 10-member commission. He was appointed by President Bush. Jim Thompson is on that commission, and many other former governors and senators. So you can see the level of respect that Fred Fielding has, but he's not a household name. He never takes center stage. We use the example in our report that he was the fellow who told General Haig that he was out of line when he said, I'm in control here in the White House at the time that President Reagan was shot, it was Fred Fielding who told him, no, you're not next in line. It's the Speaker of the House. So he's always been an important player, and he's always been there, and he is an astute, very knowledgeable attorney.
How important is it for us to know who Deep Throat is? Does it give us a greater understanding of the Watergate scandal or of the Nixon White House?
Well, it's one thing that people want to know. It's the missing link. And it's, I think, been exaggerated a bit over the years, but it's built on itself. It's a mystery, and people want to know the answer. I don't necessarily see it as of great importance, other than I think it's a journalist's duty to tell people what they want to know. And if we can find that out, that's what we'll do.
I understand you've been asked some ethical questions about this, about whether or not people should try to find out the anonymous sources of reporters. If it is possible to find out anonymous sources just from clues left lying around, so to speak, what does that mean for journalism?
I think it's a duty of someone outside of the newspaper or outside of working journalists to examine what journalists are doing, and I don't think there's any limits to what you can do. I believe that that everything we did was ethical. We did reveal the source of a journalist, but we revealed it with information that they provided us, that the journalists provided. They decided to tell us that they had a source, and when they met with the source and give him a name like Deep Throat, make a movie character out of him, and give us all this information. So I think once they step across the line and start making a guessing game out of it, then we respond with the answer.